"Look, Dad, a real ranger on a real horse." That's what the excited boy said, looking up into his father's eyes, as I rode old Sunny Horse up to their campsite in Yellowstone National Park. I've never forgotten those humorous words and that youthful excitement. Every time I was asked to pose for photos with that child and many others, even some adults, it reminded me that I had a dream job. Sure, the pay and housing were lousy, and your seasonal work was never guaranteed, but I often felt like pinching myself awake when I considered what I was doing, living and working in our first national park. One of those moments was near the end of my first season, along with three other park fire guards, a jack-of-all-trades position that no longer exists. I was sent into the backcountry for a week. We cleared trail and posted the park boundary. I remember thinking at the time, I'm actually getting paid to spend a week in the Yellowstone backcountry. I would do this for free. That first season, I became the fire lookout on Mount Holmes. At the time, Yellowstone had three active fire lookouts, and two of them had openings that summer. Lucky for me, a returning fire guard chose the easily accessible Mount Washburn lookout, so I got Mount Holmes. I don't believe any of the other young fire guards wanted to spend their summer in isolation, but that didn't bother me. It was an 11-mile hike from the road, and at 10,336 feet, the highest lookout in the park. Another fire guard had worked on Mount Holmes the three previous seasons and had no interest in returning. His first summer was with his first wife, the second summer with his second wife, and the third summer, well, he was alone that summer. That was the summer the outhouse blew over in a strong wind, and unfortunately, he was inside. He'd had enough and never returned after being helicoptered out with a broken arm. I spent three summers alone on that lookout and saw and experienced some incredible things. Magical light, fantastic storms, interesting wildlife encounters, and some odd human visitors, too. And quite a few wildfires as well. My fourth season, I moved on to a park ranger position, and after a summer in the busy Mammoth Hot Springs area, relocated to the quieter Tower Fall Ranger Station. One permanent ranger and five seasonal rangers, including me, patrolled the area's roads and backcountry. We were the fire department, the EMS, the search and rescue, law enforcement, and park naturalists, too. One day in early June, a snowstorm began falling, and it was my job to drive up to Dunraven Pass to sweep and then close the road. I set up the road closed signs, shut the inbound gate, and headed up the road. I waved down a few vehicles on my way, including one RV full of French visitors near the top, and finally met my fellow canyon ranger, who came up from the other side of the pass. On my way back down, I could see that the last vehicle, the RV, had fishtailed around a curve, and sure enough, at the next bend, I found it half off the road at a slight angle against the rocks. As I approached, a passenger was hanging out the driver's window, the RV's right side doors blocked by the rocky shoulder. I parked and rushed out into the pelting snow and found them in a panic. Seems they had watched too many movies of vehicles bursting into flames in such situations, though it seemed to me the greatest danger was their climbing out the window and jumping onto the slick road. I helped one woman climb down, and she was agitated because her father couldn't get out. He stuck his head out the window, and I instructed him to give me his legs. To my surprise, I was handed his prosthetic leg. I stuck it upright in the snow and helped him out the window and onto his leg. Once out, I squeezed them all into my station wagon with the heater running at full blast. Park visitors can be interesting. Some say they leave their brains back at the park entrance. One time, a woman was telling me about how heroic were our little Uinta ground squirrels. She went on to describe how she was driving the road and stopped to watch one squirrel in traffic as it endangered its own life, attempting to move and save its fallen, limp comrade, which had been hit by a car. I didn't have the heart to tell her that the squirrel was interested in consuming its fellow squirrel, not saving it. I found there to be plenty of anthropomorphizing when urban visitors encounter wild creatures. Next to our tiny ranger station, we had a corral and four horses, which we rode and packed to supply outpost cabins and camps used for poaching patrols. It encircled some aspens and was visible from the road. One day I noticed a car parked in the road and the traffic backed up and people taking photos of our horses. I'd seen plenty of what's called bear jams or bison jams, where people are oblivious to their blocking road traffic as they watched and photographed wildlife, but not a horse jam. When I asked why they were obstructing traffic, they responded that we were very nice to keep fenced-in moose for them to photograph. I thought they were joking, but then realized they weren't. I didn't want to ruin their excitement of seeing Yellowstone moose, so I simply responded with a smile and asked them to use the parking area instead of the traffic lane. Maybe when they got home and took a good look at their moose photos, they'd realize that they looked very similar to horses, branded horses at that. Sometimes people see what they want to see. I continued working at Tower Ranger Station for four more seasons, including a couple of winters. My first ranger job in our first national park was one of my favorites, and it didn't matter that this remote area had no TV or radio or any other electronic diversion in those days. Our adventures and interactions with park visitors were things we could share in the evenings. You just had to be careful on your way back to your bunk in the dark that you didn't walk into a bison. Something I did just once.